You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
How many are happy tonight? Amen. I am too. I feel this thing. Something good's getting ready to happen tonight. God's going to touch us by his power. Thank you, my brother. In 1 John chapter 4:4, let's read it again. The Bible said, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. Who's the them that he's talking about? The spirits of Antichrist. Because if you read the first three verses, he's talking about the fact that false prophets will rise up and people that are antichrists or people with an antichrist agenda will rise up and try to persecute and stop God's people from doing what we're called to do. But the Bible's very clear here. He said, don't worry about them because you're from God. And if you're from God, greater is he that is in you, and you've already overcome them. I want to encourage you tonight. It's not a battle against them. We've already overcome them. For greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Can you pull some of this reverb and delay off this mic, please? Thank you. If I break into singing, just be ready to throw it right back on. If I go into song and dance and they have to pull me off with a staff like it's the Apollo, it's all right. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in you. Somebody say, he's in me. The greater one, the Holy Spirit from heaven, is inside of you. You know what's exciting about that? It's not just some little portion. You didn't just get some little portion of the Holy Ghost. So let me encourage you tonight. You got the fullness of God. When the Holy Ghost came into you, you got the fullness of his Spirit dwelling inside of you. I mentioned the verse this morning. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he will quicken your mortal body. So you didn't just get a little taste of the Holy Ghost. You didn't just get a little drop from heaven that went into your spirit. God deposited into you the fullness of his Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 that Paul the apostle was writing to that church, and he said to them in Ephesians 3:19, he said, I wish that you would really come to know, practically through experience for yourself, this is the Amplified version, the love of Christ, which far surpasses knowledge. Okay? And by the end of the verse, you know what he says? And that you might become a body that is filled and flooded with God himself. Somebody say, I'm a body that's flooded with God. And the Bible says you came from him, and because you are from him, you're of him and are filled with him. Now see, when you are filled with him, it means that you've got the ability and the power to do what he did. In fact, Jesus had that expectation for us. And in John chapter 14 and verse 12, Jesus said to his disciples, the works that I do, you will do also. And greater works than these, because I'm going to be with my Father. You know what he was saying? When I go to be with the Father, I'm going to send you another comforter. That is the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. So he teaches us all things, the Bible says. Say, he's my teacher. You know, I tell people, if you're a Christian full of the Holy Ghost, you should never let anybody hear you say, well, I just don't know how to do that. You know, there's job openings and positions, but you got to have all this experience with a computer. And I just don't know how to work a computer. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say, I'm just not tech savvy. I just don't know how to work that stuff. Oh, see, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, he teaches you all things. Oh, hallelujah. Can I tell you, everything in my life that I've ever been blessed to do, I've never taken a class on it. The Holy Ghost taught me how to do it. I ran for years, even while I was a pastor, I ran a whole graphic design firm, a marketing firm. I never took one class on how to use Adobe Photoshop. I never took one class in college on how to build a website. I never had one class. You know what I did? I got in there and started being diligent, and the Holy Ghost started teaching me how to do it. I play the piano now for about 18 years. I've been playing the piano. I've played all over the world. I've never had one piano lesson. I never had nobody saying, now this is a C and this is a D. I just got in there and started playing. Somebody laid hands on me in a tent revival one time, said, start it up. And I just started studying to show myself approved. And the Holy Ghost came upon me and began to teach me all things. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, there is nothing you cannot do. I said, there's nothing you cannot do. Don't let them tell you that you don't have the proper education to make it. Don't let them tell you you don't have the background to make it. Don't let them tell you you grew up on the wrong side of the tracks to make it. If you've got the Holy Ghost, He teaches you all things and He will lift your head and shoulders above the rest. You know what that's called? The favor of God. When they should have picked somebody else, but they picked you. See, here's what I like about it. When you got the Holy Ghost, everybody doesn't have to like you. Only the right person has to like you. I need to network. I need to jump on LinkedIn and share my resume with somebody. You don't need nothing. What you need is the Holy Ghost to put His favor on your life. And if the right person likes you, that's all you need. See, because when you start to realize, the Bible teaches in Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7, promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south. Promotion comes from the Lord. And He decides who will rise and who will fall. So when we start to understand, God's the only one that can lift you up. That means I don't have to play all the games behind the scenes. I don't have to compromise what I believe and network with evil people so I can get a job position. I don't have to sleep around the office to get a promotion. I don't have to cheat to get what I'm looking for. I don't have to be harassed and take it for 3 years to get what I'm looking for. The one that promotes me is the one that's inside of me, the mighty Holy Ghost from heaven. And if I please Him, then it don't matter who don't like me. In fact, I need some enemies. I'm actually looking for enemies. The Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. See, because when you stand for something, people will automatically be against you. Let me just say it to you this way. If there's nobody opposing what you're doing for God, you haven't stood for it strong enough yet. See, because let me explain to you this way. Let's say this platform here represents what you stand for. Recognize, see, don't get discouraged when people talk about you behind your back. Don't get discouraged when they start writing vaguely worded Facebook posts that you know was about you. Don't get mad when they start sending direct messages behind your back. See, because they hated the platform before they ever hated you. And the platform represents God's interest on the earth, His agenda on the earth. And see, let me give you this. They've hated this thing for 2,000 years. See, and it wasn't until you stepped up on it that they started hating you. But notice, whether you were up here or not, they'd hate this platform. See, so you got to understand, that's why the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. I'm talking about persecutions. Because they hated Him before they ever hated you. And I need some enemies, because the Bible said there will be people that oppose God's system on the earth. And it gets me excited, because I know if there's people getting mad, if there's religious people getting mad, if there's demon influenced people getting mad, if wicked people are getting mad, I'm doing something right. I said, I'm doing something right. I had a wonderful praise break the other day by myself. I was browsing through Facebook and found an article that they finally have added my name to the false prophets list. I thought, thank you, Jesus. It took long enough. Said, don't listen to him. He's a false prophet. He's still teaching people the gifts of the Spirit are working. He believes in miracles, and that stuff ended thousands of years ago. Thank you. It took long enough. I was looking for some people to oppose what I'm talking about. You start making some devils nervous. You start making some demons angry when you work the works of God. I said, I'm thankful that finally I'm making enough of an impact that people are getting mad. Thank you, Jesus. Because I looked at the rest of the list and I was in good company. Did you know there's some prophecies in the Bible, there's some promises from God that can't even be fulfilled until people start opposing you? God's got certain blessings locked aside that don't even get released to you until you start getting hated. I call it the haters' blessing. I need some haters. I need some people gossiping about me. I need some people talking about me. I need some people opposing me. You know, we just got back. We did a crusade. I teamed up with my cousin. We did an outdoor crusade in San Diego, California, liberal city. And I went out there and he and I teamed up together. He was doing a crusade. I was going to do some worship. We did a little preaching. We had over 3,000 people saved in a week. And so we came up and there was a whole group of witches that opposed the meeting. A coven of witches that gathered together to oppose this gospel crusade. And they went out to Walmart and bought themselves some poster boards and made some signs. The crusade was called Festival of Life. They made their own signs that said Festival of Lies. And they're boycotting, casting spells on the whole team. Do you know, we never had one prayer meeting. Get a shot, not one. You know what? I don't have to pray by fear. I already have protection. The Bible told me what I read to you at the beginning. I don't have to stand around and ask God, oh, God, just back that spirit off the crusade. No. The Bible said you are from God and have already overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And the witches came every night. They came to the crusade to try to shut it down. They'd in there, as people are coming in to try to get into the crusade, they're telling them, it's a lie. Don't go in there. You know what they started a rumor? They're just trying to get everybody in one place so that they can capture you and human traffic you. Tried to spread it on Facebook. Tried to boycott with signs, picketing the meeting, standing outside. They come in. They're sitting in the bleachers with the rest of the people, telling everybody this is not of God, and they're all trying to curse the crusade. See, I need some people to oppose what we're doing. See, it's a proof that God is at work, and the spirit of this world doesn't like what's going on. So finally, we just kept on going. We never had one prayer meeting about it. Finally, some of the witches tried so hard, they finally just got tired and went home. But some of them stuck around. My cousin got up one night. This is how little we thought of it. He got up from the microphone at the end of the meeting. He said, now, tomorrow we're coming back. He said, now, some of you have said that the meeting starts at 7. He said, but you got to realize that's just the service part. He said, we do giveaways. See, they give away about $100,000 worth of gifts every week. iPads, Xboxes, iPods, all this stuff just to bless the community. He said, the giveaways start at 6. He said, so if you're a witch opposing the meeting, be here no later than 5:30. And people laugh. Well, they came back and here they are. Well, I got up on the keyboard. I started singing. All the other gods, they are the works of man. You are the most high God. And we're jamming. You know, we're singing. There is none like you, Jehovah. You are the most high. We're going at it, you know. And the witch had got tired of holding her sign. So she, just for a minute, she had the sour face on, but she put it down on the ground, let it lean on her legs, and she's got her arms crossed over there on the side, you know? And I think she forgot where she was because she kind of tuned out from the meeting. She was tired of holding the sign. Before I knew it, she started swaying like this. And all of a sudden, and then she forgot, she's just perusing the crowd, and then I see her, now she's clapping her hand, and she realized she was praising God, and she picked up her sign and went home. Hallelujah. I need what's called a hater's blessing. The Bible said in Psalm 23 that God promised, he said, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. See, God can't even fulfill that promise till you get some enemies. He said, when the enemies start coming, I'm going to prepare a table before you and see the tables for you and the enemies to sit at. But there's only one place setting with only one fork, one knife, one spoon, one plate, and that's for you. The enemies have a seat at the table, but they're only there to sit down and watch you eat your blessings. God said, I'm not going to bless you back in some corner somewhere where nobody can see it. I'm going to take you out in the open and let everybody see what I can do for my children. You think God's going to let people mock you in public and then bless you in private? He going to bless you in public. I said, it's going to be in public. In fact, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says, when you pray, go behind closed doors and shut the door behind you. See, because some people pray to be seen by men. You ever met those religious people? They actually don't pray at home. They only pray in church when somebody call on them to pray. We're going to have Deacon so-and-so close the meeting today. Deacon, go ahead and close it. Father God, we come to thee now. Hallelujah. You can tell people when they haven't talked to God. Their prayers have to be filled with filler words. You ever seen these people? Father God, we thank you, Father God, that you, Father God, are here, Father God. And Father God, we want you to know, Father God, that Father God, we're at. You can tell it's an awkward conversation because I ain't talked to him in a while. Can you imagine doing that in real life? Huh? Pastor Josh, good to see you, Pastor Josh. Pastor Josh, I was wondering, Pastor Josh, if we go to lunch, Pastor Josh. Nobody talks like that. That's awkward. That's because they don't have a relationship with who they're talking to. Oh my goodness. Whoa. And see, when you get in those positions, you don't have a relationship. It's not properly set up. See, then you have a place where you're disconnected. I'm going to show you something about the favor of God tonight and the blessing of the Holy Ghost. See, God's always looking to bless you. He always has a blessing set aside for you. Every single day, there's fresh manna from heaven. You think he would do that for them in the Old Testament and won't do it for his New Testament children? We have a better covenant established on better promises. You telling me he's going to drop fresh manna from heaven for his Old Testament children and there's not daily blessings available for his New Testament people? I came to tell you there's blessings every day. In fact, Jesus told his disciples to pray. He said, pray like this, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Somebody say daily bread. There's daily bread available for God's people. See, I'm going to show you. I mean, when they come against you, when people stand against you for who you are and your covenant with God, and they begin to hate you, God starts releasing blessings because you're hated for his name's sake. Look, even back in the Old Testament, Bible said there was a man named Jacob. His father was Isaac. His father was Abraham. Jacob got in a weird situation because he went to work for his uncle Laban, and Laban had two daughters, and one of the daughters was fine, and the other one was ratchet. Bible said one, her name was Rachel. She looked good in jeans. But then there was Leah, and Leah was like the ugly duckling of the family. And Jacob caught sight of Rachel. He was like, hey. Got her on Snapchat and everything else. He was talking to her. And he said to Laban, he said, I want to work for you for 7 years to marry your daughter, Rachel, the fine one. His uncle said, oh, yes, work for me 7 years. I'll hook you up with Rachel. You can have Rachel take her into marriage. He said, all right. He worked 7 years, came to the place where the time was up, and he went into the marriage ceremony, and he came in, and here comes with the whole veil over the face. See, the Bible said that Leah was what the Bible called in the King James, tender-eyed. She was cross-eyed. Leah was googly-eyed. She came in. Buck-tooth, cross-eyed Leah came into the wedding, and she had the veil. And they went in, and they got married. And the Bible says, and he was tricked because, and the Bible says, and in the morning, he rolled over, expecting to see fine. And so, pow, she was like, hello. There was Leah. And he got tricked. So he came to his uncle and said, what have you done to me? I wanted Rachel. You gave me Leah. He said, well, you already slept with her now. I can't take her back. You got to work for me another 7 years if you want the fine one. And he loved her so much, he said, I'll work another seven. Worked seven more years, got Rachel. But see, then a problem took place. See, because back in those days, you weren't accepted into the community as a woman unless you were having babies. That was how their value was determined. She's a fertile woman. She's having babies. She's producing heirs. And when they got married, he had Leah and he had Rachel. But the Bible says that Leah started popping babies out left and right. But Rachel's womb was shut up and she couldn't have any babies. So she started getting hated by the people in her community. And they start talking about her behind her back. And there must be something wrong with her. She must have secret sin in her life. She ain't had one baby. You met these people in church? The church mothers? I don't know if you know who I'm talking about. They got a prayer chain going on. It's really a gossip chain under the guise of prayer. I wanted to call you just to make you aware of an issue. I'm not talking outside of school. I just wanted to give you a prayer point. I don't know if you know about Sister Denise, but Sister Denise been having some issues. we need to pray for Sister Denise because there's some things been going on. I'm not sure if you're aware. I'm going to make you aware so that you can pray. We wonder how come people haven't come back to church. It's a gossip chain. It's not a prayer chain. They're not really trying to pray for you. They just want your issues to be known in the church. People that are supposed to be loving one another are actually biting whole chunks of flesh out of each other's back. Some people say, if that's what church is, I don't want to come back because that's not love. And so we've had these issues where people have offended others because instead of walking in love and lifting them up when they stumble, they just keep trying to press them back down. But see, understand, it doesn't make you go any higher. When you press others down, it actually drags you down below where they are. But if you want to be lifted up in the kingdom, when you say somebody else got an issue, put your arm under their arm and lift them back where they were before. Help somebody. Lift them up higher than when they fell. Love them. Restore them and bring them back into the kingdom. And they hated Rachel because she couldn't have any children. I love the scripture. Go back home and read it for yourself when you get there. God said, and when God saw that Rachel was hated. When God saw that Rachel was hated, he opened up her womb. Oh my goodness. There's some blessings that don't even get released until people start hating you, until people start standing against you, until they start talking about you. That's why I'm telling you tonight, don't get discouraged when people oppose you. Don't get discouraged when they stand against you. Don't get discouraged when they mock you. Guess what? They opposed Jesus. They stood against Jesus. They mocked Jesus. They said he's got a demon. And let me tell y'all, if they said it about Jesus, they'll say it about you. And this platform, wherever you're standing for God in your community, they hated it before they hated you. One of the most wise things I ever heard a preacher tell me, I'll never forget it. He said, what you're going to realize is people are already angry at God, but they take it out on you. He said, what they realize is they can't slap God in the face, so they'll slap you. See that? It's not actually about you. It's about who you're standing with. But the Bible says you are from God, little children. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The power of the Holy Ghost sets you above your problems. Somebody say above, not beneath. The power of the Holy Ghost sets you above your problems. John, the gospel, chapter 3. And verse 31, let me read you this. Same man that wrote 1 John 4:4 wrote the Gospel of John chapter 3. And look what the Bible says. I love this verse of scripture. It says, he that is from above is above all. He who comes from above is above all. Say that with me. He that comes from above is above all. So understand that once you got translated out of a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, you're not actually living from down below anymore. For the Bible says, Paul gave us this revelation in the book of Ephesians. He said, even though you were dead in your trespasses and in your sins, it's Ephesians 2:6. He raised you up together and seated you in heavenly places with Christ. So notice, every one of us that is serving God tonight, we're not ruling and reigning from down here on the earth looking up to try to hope heaven hears us. Our spirits are already seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I don't have to yell up to heaven and hope God hears me. All I got to do is turn to my left and say, hey, Lord, I have a request to make. See, because we're seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ Jesus. So God's right here to our left. You understand, your spirit is from above. And he that comes from above is above all. That means that you're already above every attack of the devil that may come. You don't have to believe that you can overcome it. You're already above it. You're above cancer. You're above diabetes. You're above arthritis. You're above glaucoma. You're above mesothelioma. You're above anxiety. You're above chronic depression. You're above heart disease and above high blood pressure. So, brother, I think you're oversimplifying the word of God. No, it's what the word teaches. He that comes from above is above all. In fact, if you go back one chapter to Ephesians 1, the Bible says that God took Christ and made him the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, and put all things under his feet. Everything that would oppose you is already under your feet. Some of y'all need to go home and pull some shoes out. Grab yourself a black marker. And on one shoe, write the devil's. On the next shoe, write home. The devil's home is under my feet. Look, when he's trying to come against me, he ain't looking me in the eye. He's looking up at me. Because he's already under my feet. He who comes from above is above all. What kind of attack of the devil? Because see, here's what you got to get. If the devil was going to harass us and stay with us for the rest of our life, first thing he would have to do is ascend into heaven. I'm going to hit you with something. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ became a curse for us. Huh? Christ took the curse. Christ took the curse. He became the curse. For it's written, the Bible says, cursed is every man that's hung on a tree. So the Bible declares in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see this? He's what? Redeemed us. Purchased us back. You know what redeem means? If even in our generation, you go get a coupon out of the thing you're taking in, a coupon to take to the store. I'm sorry, those jeans are $49.99. I got an email. I got 20% off on these jeans. I'd like to redeem it. So they redeem it, which means they gave you the ability to purchase at a special price. Purchase at a special price. Purchase at a special price. Purchased at a special price. And Christ redeemed you by purchasing you at a special price. That's why nobody in this room should ever have to wonder or debate how much you're worth. See, people have issues with their identity and they have issues with their confidence because of the fact that the enemy has tricked them out of seeing how much they're worth. See, because you can only argue about the value of an item if you don't have the receipt. See, if you go down to the store and buy a shirt and you decide later, the shirt don't look right on me, I'm going to take it back to the store. But when you go back, you bought the shirt for $30. But when you get back to the store, the shirt went on sale and the shirt is only $15. And you say at customer service desk, excuse me, I'd like to return this shirt. Do you have the receipt? Well, no, I lost the receipt, but you know, I got it here. Well, I'm sorry, this shirt went on sale, so we can only give you back the sale price. So what happens? You begin to debate the value of the shirt. Oh, no, I paid $30. I want the $30. Well, you have the receipt? No, I don't have it. Was it 15 now? So we're only giving you 15. And then people get irate. I tell you, and then people turn into a bishop at the desk. I tell you, I came here and paid $30 for this shirt about a week and a half ago. I touched three people and said, give me my $30. And if you... if you don't give me my $30, then touch those other representatives behind the desk and say, get ready for a smackdown. And see what happens, you begin to debate about the value because you don't have the receipt. And see what happens is the devil creeps in and begins to debate with you about your value. And that's why people battle suicidal thoughts, because the devil says to him, you're not worth anything. You might as well kill yourself, because even if you were gone, nobody even recognized you were gone. Because nobody cares about you. Your value is nothing. You're not accomplishing anything on the earth. You might as well end it now. That's what the devil tells people. And he's able to trick them because people do not hold the receipt of their value. And see, you can't debate with a blood-bought Christian about how much they're worth, because we still have the receipt. I said, we still have the receipt. Let me see this word. We still hold the receipt in our hand. So when the devil tries to tell us you're not worth anything, say, actually, let me break this receipt out real quick, because I still have it here. The Bible says Jesus paid, the price was his precious sinless blood that was priceless. Jesus spent something that was priceless to buy something that was worthless. And the Bible declares when he did it, he put value into your body, because his priceless blood got swiped on the debit card machine of heaven, and he bought you back by his power. And I went from being worthless to being priceless. Somebody shout, yeah. I'm not worthless. You're not worthless. Priceless. Look at somebody next to you. Tell them, you're priceless. You're priceless. You're priceless. How do I know? Because I know how much it costs to buy me. That's why it was so powerful that Jesus never sinned. That he came from a virgin. Because the Bible says that really sin is transferred through the bloodline of man. Because when Adam fell, we all fell. That's why it could not be a man that impregnated Mary. Because if a man did it, there'd have been sin in the blood. So God had to impregnate Mary by the Holy Ghost, so that the baby that came out would not be of man's seed, but of God's seed. Oh my goodness. And see, she didn't have time to lay with Joseph before she got married to her. She was already pregnant when they got engaged, because God had sent the Holy Ghost to fill her belly with a God man. And when he came out, his blood was not tainted with the sins of this world. And the Bible said there wasn't even any guile found in his mouth. He was a sinless man and went through his whole life without committing one sin. So that by the time he got to the end of his life and they put him on the cross, he was able to take that currency that flowed through his veins and spend it to purchase you back from the kingdom of darkness. He couldn't have done that if there was sin in his blood, but he had pure, priceless, heaven created blood that was shed for you. And because he did, he was able to purchase something that was legally given to the devil. See, the devil's got the right to harass people that aren't God's children, because they're still under his system. They still have his barcode on their back. Huh? They're sitting on the shelf in his store because nobody's purchased them out yet. But see, what I got to show you is when you receive Jesus by grace through faith, he takes you out of that system and rips that sticker off of your body. Whew. I got to show you something. God's not dishonest. He didn't shoplift you. He didn't stuff you in his cargo pants real quick and run out the store. He's not dishonest. He did everything above board. He said, I'll make sure that when I get you, I'll get you the right way, so that I can keep you forever. There ain't no police that can kick his door down and say, you've got hot merchandise in your house. We came to take it back and put you in jail. He didn't steal you. He didn't shoplift you. He bought you. Oh, man. I have been purchased. You have been purchased by the wonderful blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. I heard an old bishop say one time, he said, my father's father was his grandfather. He said, he used to preach years ago. He said, I can't understand nature. He said, how in the world do you take a brown cow and let him eat green grass? And then he produces white milk. He said, I don't get it. He said, but in the same way, God took my black heart and washed it in his red blood and made me white as snow. Hallelujah. It's a mystery. The blood of Jesus is a mystery. I said, it's a mystery how it can transform you from death unto life. You were on your way to eternal punishment, and Jesus stepped in and called you into the kingdom of him. Hallelujah. And when he called you, it was a way out of the punishment that was never meant for you in the first place. You know, hell was not created for people. Hell was created for the devil and the fallen angels. But because of the sin of one man, a whole generation, a whole world fell into sin. The Bible calls that man the first Adam. But then another one came, whose name was Jesus. The Bible calls him the last Adam. Oh, I got to preach to you tonight. Because you got to understand, when God wanted to create a race of beings on the earth, the Bible says in Genesis that he created his first man, Adam, out of the dust. But after he was a living being, he put him back to sleep. Opened up his side. Took out a rib. See, when he opened up his side, that's where Eve came out of. Oh, I got to preach this thing tonight. See, because women are not below men in the kingdom. Did you know that God didn't open Adam's ankle and pull Eve out of the ankle or the heel? He was not to tread on Eve. I love how everybody likes to preach one side of a verse. Wives, submit yourself to your husband. Yeah, but keep on reading, because it said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and was willing to give himself for the church. Until you're willing to give your life for your wife, she's not willing to submit to anything less than love. God didn't take Eve out of his heel, didn't take Eve out of his ankle. Notice he also didn't take Eve out of his ear or out of his head, because she wasn't to run her husband around the house. Tell him, you didn't pick up the dry cleaning and I can't still find the green beans. Oh, we've got an imbalance in the home. I preached the woman's side, but men, it's time to shout. He didn't pull Eve out of his ear and so that she could nag him all day long. I'm still waiting on you to fix the bicycle in the garage. I haven't been able to ride the bike for 3 weeks because you didn't fix the bicycle. You're in there talking to Henry on the phone. Didn't pull Eve out of his ear or out of his skull, but he opened up his side so that she would be equal with him. She would be a partner with him. She would be a help to him. She would be a blessing to him. I'm preaching in here. I wish somebody would shout with me, but he said, I'll pull her out of the side. Oh my God. See, because I know where I'm going next. That's why I'm getting excited. See, because when it was time for God to create a natural race of beings, he put Adam to sleep and opened up his side and pulled out a natural race. But when God decided to create a supernatural race of beings, he put the last Adam to sleep and opened up his side. And when he opened up his side, a supernatural race of people came out. New creatures in Christ Jesus. They didn't come out of Jesus' foot and they didn't come out of his head, because he's the head of the church. But he said, I'm looking for a people that will be equal with my son, so they'll have his power, so they'll have his glory, so they'll have his honor, so they'll have his might, so they'll have his wisdom. I don't hear you in here tonight, but I'm telling you, Jesus is your brother and you've got his power. Somebody shout amen. And when he opened up his side, I hope you're recording this service because I have no notes and I'd like to preach this message again. Pulled it out of his side. And when he pulled it out of his side, created a race of supernatural people. You and me. Just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. See, we are from our Father, just like Jesus was from his Father. This stuff, I'm telling you, this will blow your faith up. To know you're not some little ant in some automated army of God. You are a son of God. For the Bible declares in John chapter 1 verse 12, to as many as believed on his name, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I'm going to say something right now that might blow somebody's mind up a little bit, but Jesus Christ is no longer the only begotten son of God. He was at the time, but he's not anymore. Jesus was the prototype man. He said, let me show y'all how to do it so that when I go, you can be just like me. And the works I do, you will do also. And my blood will be your blood. And my Father will be your Father. I'll be your elder brother, the first fruits of the dead. I'm going to show you how to live this life in victory so that by the time I go, you can just refer back to the manual and read the instructions and see what I did. And he created the ability for there to be many sons of God. Women, every one of you in this church is a son of God. Not a daughter of God. Why is this important? Truthfully, we know in the spirit there is no male or female. Bible says that they tried to trip Jesus up with that question. Let's say a woman had a husband and all of her husbands that she married to 7 men. Whose wife will she be in eternity? He said, you're asking these questions because you don't understand the scriptures. There will not be giving in marriage. There's no male, there's no female, there's no Jew, there's no Greek in the spirit. But notice the verbiage God uses so we can understand the power. He said, you'll all become the sons of God. Because covenant is delivered to the firstborn son. Every one of you are firstborn sons of God. Which means you get his covenant. Which means you get his double portion blessing. Which means you get his power. Women, you get the power just as much as the men get the power. Oh, hallelujah. There's no need for a feminism movement in the body of Christ. There's equal pay in the body of Christ. Equal opportunity in the body of Christ. There's no discrimination in the body of Christ. Doesn't matter what color you are in the body of Christ. Doesn't matter how much money you make in the body of Christ. Everybody stands equal in the body of Christ. Because when Jesus shed his blood, he gave you the power to become the sons of God. People say, how in the world can a woman be the son of God? In the same way that I'm going to become the bride of Christ. And I ain't even getting a sex change either. Hallelujah. And Jesus' side was opened up. And God pulled out a race of supernatural beings. Everybody's fighting now about color, nationality. Some people want to build walls. Some want to tear them down. Some people think certain lives matter or other lives matter. I came to tell you that in Christ, it's the red lives that matter. Because every life needs to be covered with the blood of Jesus. See, here's the thing. We think legislation is going to change the hearts of men. We think if we take guns away, school shootings will go away. If you think that's true, go to Mexico where all guns are illegal. They're doing real good down there. In a civil war where people are dying by the thousands, it's not the issues that... See, we look at the cause and effect, and we always look at effect instead of cause. We don't ever look at the root. Notice, you go to places where you can't even get guns, and people make homemade bombs to kill each other. If they can't, you know what they do? You go into prison. You can't have guns in prison. People still get murdered in prison. You know what people do? If people can't get a hold of a gun, they'll take a toothbrush and sharpen it on the ground till they've got a shiv. It's not about the weapon. It's about the hearts of men. Until the hearts of men are changed, we can't have the peace we're looking for. And the only thing that'll change the heart of a man, it's not a law. It's not another jail sentence. It's not what the Supreme Court says. What changes the heart of man is when God turns it from a heart of stone into a heart of flesh and makes you a son of God. Oh! Hallelujah. Can I tell you, sin has even affected animals. You got animals killing each other. Because the Bible says in the millennium, when everything's perfect, lions will lay down with lambs. You didn't even know sin affected your dog. It's out there biting the mailman because of sin. Your dog got secret sin in his life. No, I'm just joking. It's really your cat. Anyway. Cats just look like they're living in sin, don't they? Dogs are happy to see you. They got the joy of the Lord. They're wagging their tail looking for somebody to pet them. You come home, see your cat. They're looking you up and down. Who you think you're talking to? Everybody say, I'm a son of God. Say again, I'm a son of God. Let me close before I pray for you tonight. Oh, hallelujah. You feel the anointing in here? I'm just telling you, the power of God's in this church tonight. We need the blood of Jesus more than ever before. I'm telling you, we're living in a time right now, very volatile. And the reason is, let me tell you why. You say, well, the earth's always had evil in it. It has. But it's increasing. And I'm going to tell you why. As I taught this morning, Jesus prophesied that before his return, see, this is why I'm preaching and why it's so important to have the knowledge that I'm from God. I carry his power. I have his ability to affect the earth and to change things before it's too late. Jesus said this to his disciples in John chapter 9, verse 4. He said, look, guys, we've got to work the works of him who sent me while it's still day. For the night is coming where no man can work. Once that day comes, it'll be too late for those who don't have Jesus. It'll be too late. Did you realize the gospel message is literally a limited time offer? Limited time. There's a countdown going on in heaven. When that time runs out, the dead in Christ are going to rise. Those of us that are alive and remain will be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. And at that moment, it's too late for those that don't have him. People ask me all the time, man, why you need to take a rest? Why are you always traveling all the time? Why are you always on the road? You're never home. Why aren't you and your wife and your kids never home? The reason I'm never home, even though I understand I'm not God's only worker, but there's work to be done. Because there's a whole generation that doesn't know Jesus. You know what's crazy? You travel in even in America right now, it's like preaching in a third world nation. You had a whole generation of millennials. Their parents never even took them to church. Everything's foreign to them. There's like, what's Noah's Ark? You know why? Because we're coming to the end of time. And the Bible says, as it was in the old days, a whole generation of people would rise up who did not honor the things of God. And because of that, they will have children that don't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So there's work to be done. And when you're going to realize it's a limited time offer, time's coming to a close. When time comes to a close, as Jesus said, work while it's daytime, because the night's coming where no man can work. Now catch this. Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24, he said, before I return, he said, the earth will start to groan for me, calling for me to come back. It's getting too evil. And he made this analogy. He said, the earth will be like a pregnant woman. Has anybody in here, you're a woman that you've ever given birth to a child, lift your hand. How many of you have more than one child? Lift your hand. More than one. You remember what it was like the very first time you gave birth. My wife and I, we have now three children. And things change from the first child, the second child, the third child. Y'all can attest to that. You're super careful on that first child. Everything's a big deal. Oh my goodness, She's only one year old. She just put a whole goldfish in her mouth. Get it out of her mouth. Get that out of her mouth right now. Third child comes around. He just swallowed a matchbox car. He'll poop it out. Don't worry about it. I mean, the whole thing changes, doesn't it? It changes. But on that first time you're pregnant, you ladies remember that first pregnancy? You had your ear to the ground for everything. Is that right? Is that supposed to be happening? What's going on? Is that right? You're checking websites and everything else. Some of y'all was a previous generation. You were looking through Encyclopedia Britannica. So. And then when those contractions start, you're like, oh my goodness, something's about to happen. Did anybody else go to the hospital a little too early? And they told you, how far are those contractions apart? I'm feeling about every 30 minutes. Go home and don't come back until they're what? 5 minutes apart. Why did they tell you that? Because they understand that even though the contractions are happening, the baby's not coming yet. But they know by the space between the groanings of your belly when the baby's going to come. And Jesus started to prophesy. You know what he said? In the last days, before I come back, you'll start seeing these things happen. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, famine. He said it'll be like the days of Noah and Lot. This morning I explained what that meant. He said that the hearts of men will grow more violent than ever before, and the hearts of men will become more sexually perverted than ever before. Now, when you tell people that aren't Christians, they say, you know what they say? That's not a sign that's the end of the world. There's always been war. There's always been sickness. There's always been famine. There's always been hungry children. There's always been perversion, and there's always been violence. And that's true. But Jesus said one more thing. He said, take a lesson from the fig tree. I'm talking about Israel. He said, when you see the fig tree bud and bloom again, notice that this generation who sees this happen will not pass from the earth before they see all these things I've prophesied come to pass. On May 14th, we just celebrated 70 years of that prophecy coming to pass. Do you know that that's not a common thing? It's never happened in the history of the world before. There's never been an army that's come in and wiped a nation out that 2,000 years later was reestablished as a nation, given their land back, given all their, got an economy again, got an army again, got inhabitants again. That's never happened. It happened. And a few weeks ago, we celebrated 70-year anniversary of Israel. And Jesus said, when you see that happen, get ready. Because the generation who sees that with their own eyes, they won't leave the earth before all these prophecies come to pass. And Jesus said, the earth will groan. You know what he said? You'll see earthquakes in diverse places. Do you know that they're telling us now? They're having earthquakes in the world that have never had one earthquake in the history of the world. In sections of the earth now that have never experienced earthquakes, they're having them. All over. And what he was saying was, it's not that you've never seen evil. It's not that you've never seen famine. It's not that you've never seen pestilence. But if, before I come back, the space between these events will get shorter and shorter, like a contractions of a pregnant woman. And the earth's groaning for my return. He said, when they get close enough, the womb of heaven's going to open up. And out will come the sun to pull his people off of this earth. Doesn't it seem to you like you can't turn on one news station, and before they're done talking about the Parkland shooting, there's already two more shootings. Before they're done talking about one terrorist attack in Paris, there's also one in Brussels, and then there's one in Switzerland, and then there's London. And you see this? You used to be a man, did you remember even when 9/11 happened, which I can't believe is all these years ago now. Even when that happened, that was the talk of the news for years. But then it seems like things have continued to speed up. You can't even finish a news cycle about one terrorist attack before they're reporting another one. This is sad. I looked at a calendar last year of every day of the year. And there were only think about this. There were only like 60 some days in the whole year where there wasn't a mass shooting of three or more people. There was only like 60 days on our calendar that did not have one somewhere in America. The earth is groaning. The hearts of men are growing more violent, more perverse. You know what they're telling us? They're telling us that if we don't receive this way of living, we're intolerant. Let me tell you something. I've never met one homosexual that I didn't love. I've never met one lesbian that I didn't love. I've never met one of these people. But see, just because I love somebody doesn't mean I have to agree with what they do. We've been tricked into believing that if you truly love someone, you have to also back up their actions. No. I can love somebody and not agree with their actions. Did you know there are mothers of serial killers that sit there at the execution with tears streaming down their face as they watch their baby boy either receive lethal injection, gas chamber, whatever it may be. They're crying. People probably wonder, how could you weep for such an animal? Because that's my baby. I don't agree with what he did, but I still love my baby. Just because you love somebody doesn't mean you have to back up their actions. Every person I've ever met that's homosexual, that's lesbian, I've had them come to my meetings and be faithful, more faithful than some Christians that were at the church. I had a homosexual man couple sat in every single one. I had a full week-long revival services. They came to every service. I didn't hold back. I'm not seeker sensitive. I preach Holy Ghost and fire. I preach sin will send you to hell. Every night they were there. And when I had a prayer line to receive impartation and salvation, they stood there with hands raised in the air. On the final night, only one of them came back. So I think a breakup happened. I'm not sure what went on. But I've not met one that I didn't love. Not one. That I don't want the blood of Jesus to save their life. See that? So I'm not preaching this from a hateful perspective. But see, our world is telling us that we have to accept everything that comes down the path. You know the only people that don't have rights left in America? Christians. I was very thankful to see that the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the Christian bakery. I don't know if y'all saw that. It's funny, isn't it? Some of y'all don't know this. They've put Pentecostal Christians on the terrorist watch list for the CIA. Because we're a dangerous people. We're in that day. Jesus is coming back. We need the power of the Holy Ghost more than we ever have. We need to understand that his power is dwelling on the inside of us. He who comes from above is above all. Somebody say above all. And the anointing of heaven is in this church tonight to break every chain. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment and ask God to fill you with the fire of God. What is that? The anointing of his spirit. So that you're empowered to do what he's called you to do. Let me tell you, we need a boldness like we've never had. We can't be laying back and just thinking we can throw that thing into cruise control until Jesus comes. It's time to do the work God called us to do. We have many loved ones that are not ready to even see Jesus. Not ready to look him in the eye and call him Savior and call him Lord. You know what I found out? I read where the Bible says every knee will bow. There's coming a day every person will have to present themselves to God. Every person. Not just Christians. Every person. And every person will bow. But I found this out. Every person is not going to bow to the same personality. Some of us will bow to a father. Others will bow to a judge. God will either be your father or he'll be your judge. There's a big difference when you bow, because a father pronounces blessings, but a judge pronounces a sentence. I ain't looking for a sentence. I'm looking for the blessings. I'm ready to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I'm ready to lay some crowns at Jesus' feet for the work that I've done for him on the earth. I don't want to have to say, you know, I always wondered because I found out that obviously, you know, there's two judgments, one for sinners, one for Christians, but it's at the judgment for Christians where the Bible says that God will then wipe every tear from their eye. I thought to myself, if I already belong to Jesus, if I'm going to stand before God and he doesn't remember my sins, some people think you're going to stand before him and he's going to play on the screen every part of your life where he was disappointed. No, No, he said he takes your sins and throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. He removes them from you as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. So he's not going to then take you up and then play them all back for you and have you weeping. Oh, God, I didn't mean to do that. No. So why will he have to wipe every... What are we crying about? Because the Bible says he will take our works. Everything we've done for him in the kingdom. And he'll pass them through the fire. Some of them are so worthless they'll be burned up like chaff. But the things we've done for him that matter, they will come out purified gold on the other side. And he will show us, I believe, the things we could have done for the kingdom that but fear held us back. Intimidation held us back. What people thought of us held us back. And he'll say, see, remember Larry? Remember Larry that you worked with? He's in hell today because you would not speak to him about the blood of Jesus. You would not tell him the good news about Christ. Remember Trisha that you saw every day at school, that talked to you all the time, that seemed like she was so popular? She's in hell today because you never told her about Jesus. And as you see the opportunities that you had, you'll begin to weep in the presence of a holy God, knowing there were so many things we could have done that we didn't do. I made up my mind, I want those events to be short and sweet. I don't want a long credits list at the end of my life, at the opportunities I had that I did not accomplish and weep in front of God. I want to hear, well done. I want to hear, well done. I'm not going to let what people think about me hold me back. I'm not going to let intimidation hold me back. I'm not going to let fear hold me back. I'm going to get the boldness of heaven in my spirit and work the works of God while it's still daytime, because the night is coming where no man can work. Can you say amen? I'm going to have the team come back in a moment. We're going to sing that song again. We sang it the last song we sang. And get into the Spirit of God. I'm going to lay my hands on you and pray for you in just a moment. And impart to you the power of God. So you say, well, I'm already filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you know you can be refilled with the Holy Ghost? The Bible said in Acts chapter 2, they got filled. Acts chapter 3, they started working and got persecuted. And they lost some boldness. So in Acts chapter 4, they went back to their own company, started praying, and the house shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost again. You can get refilled with the Holy Ghost. But I want you to stand on your feet all over this church and lift your hands to heaven. I want you to bow your head. This is a very important thing. I want you to hear what I'm saying. If you're in this church tonight, and you're not ready to see Jesus, hear me. So very important. With every head bowed. You know there are things in your life that aren't right. You know you're not ready to see Jesus. If he came back tonight, you couldn't even look him in the eye, because there are things in your life displeasing to God. But you want to know that you're ready to see heaven. You want to know that Jesus is your Lord, God is your Father, and heaven is your home. Don't play around with your destiny and your future. You don't have time to play around. No time to play games. Jesus is coming very soon. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I'll see my 40th or 50th birthday. He's coming that soon. My uncle said it this way. He said, I believe Jesus is coming so soon, I won't even buy green bananas. He's coming soon. I said, he's coming soon. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you said, preacher, that's me. I want to know tonight that I'm ready. I want sin to be removed from my life. I want to serve God with my whole heart. And I don't want to miss out on my blessing because I didn't take a step of faith here on the earth. And I want to pray this prayer with you tonight so that I can know that my life belongs to God. Wherever you are in this church, you say, that's me. I want to pray with you tonight as you pray this prayer. I want you to lift your hand and hold it high and say, I'm going to pray with you tonight. I want to make all things new. I see it there, 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 over here. If you say, I want to pray that prayer of salvation, I want to be free from sin, I want to know I belong to Jesus, lift your hand, hold it high so I can see who you are. And we're going to pray in just a minute. I see it there, 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 there. Yes. Now listen, as they worship, I want you to take a step of faith quickly. Jump out of your seat and come stand with me at God's altar and let's pray together. Come on. If you raised your hand, quickly come. Come, 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 come. Don't wait for somebody else. Jesus is calling you. Come on. If you raised your hand, get out and come now. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you raised your hand, move now, 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 now. Jesus is calling you. Did you know the Bible says that nobody can be saved unless the Spirit draws them? You can't just wake up and choose to be saved. The Spirit of God has to draw you to salvation. That's why when there's an opportunity where the Spirit is calling, never push it to the side. Because we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. No. Jesus could come tonight. God bless you, bro. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you, man. Every one of you, God loves you so much. He sent his only son to die for you, be tortured for you, so that you could be free. God bless you, sir. We're going to pray this prayer of faith. Very simple. And when we do, the Bible says that all things are made new. You say, man, it can't really be that easy. Jesus said it is. It ain't a 21-step process. God doesn't need you to be on a probationary period for 10 years. But he's worthy. He's done it good for 10. No, no, no. He said, when you pray this prayer, it's as simple as this. When you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, the Bible says that's it. You are saved. That's it. And then you begin to serve him with your life. You live for him. You're faithful to him. Think of it like a marriage relationship. I say the words, I do, I stand, I give the ring, I connect in covenant. But after I make that decision to be in relationship, I then live faithful to my wife for the rest of our life. I'm not just doing it and saying, I will, I do, here's a ring, and then I sleep around for the next 30 years. No, 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 no. That's the start of it, but then I'm faithful to that relationship for the rest of my life. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and God's going to change every heart. Bow your head. I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say it with a bold and a loud voice. Let God know you mean this tonight. Say this, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for sending your son to die for me. I ask you now, forgive me for my sin. Make me new and give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life until I die, or more likely, until you come. Thank you, Lord, that I'm free tonight. I'm never going back to an old way of living. I belong to you. I say this, devil, take your hands off my life. I belong to Jesus. I'm never coming back to an old way of living. With both hands lifted to heaven, say, thank you, Lord. I'm free tonight. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your power. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. I'm looking forward to seeing you soon. In Jesus' name. Let's thank God for his goodness tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.